Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 10th, 2024.
Pump day!
There you go. Right on cue, Mr. Zommers looking cool as a cucumber in his sunglasses. Mr. Zommers, explain.
I am wearing prescription sunglasses because earlier today, yeah. At this very desk, I super glued my glasses back together for the fourth time. The other day, I was washing my glasses in the sink, grabbed some dish soap, you know, scrub them all up, and the right arm just fell off in my hand. I was not pulling on it. I was not cranking it or anything.
Just fell apart?
It just came off. Well.
Time to get some new glasses.
Yeah,
I went through this a few months ago and got some new ones and working much better now.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the future is still bright for Aaron Zommers. He's got to wear shades.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Great to have you along. We are waiting. We think perhaps Trygve Olsen, busy guy. He was with us all last week. It was fantastic. He had some meetings today, so he's going to try to stop by this half hour, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project that he is. Perhaps he'll get tied up and join us next week, but we anticipate him stopping by at some point this hour. Then at the bottom of the hour, looking forward to our guest at 1:30 or just after the 1:30 news break, Marco Mazzetti. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. He is going to be here talking about their 2024 inductees into the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Really looking forward to that. And again, as we traveled around the state last week asking people what makes Wisconsin great, so many of you said, Todd, it's the great folks. And quite frankly, the outdoors and conservation and taking care of our natural resources. So we're going to do both, talk conservation and talk about some great stories of people who have done just that at 1:30 with Marco Mazzetti. So looking forward to that. I invite your phone calls as well this half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C, CIVIC. Also text us on the Civic Media app. You can download it at your Apple or Android device, just like Cam from Nina. Great city of Nina, listening on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support. Talking last hour, in the last segment there, about this Project 2025, which is a real thing amongst MAGA Republicans. And if implemented, would essentially do away with true civil service protections, and all government employees, virtually, would be subject to tantamount to a loyalty oath to Trump. And Trumpism. Cam from Nina says, quote, I'm a civil servant myself and have been for almost 10 years. Even if you roll your eyes at the thought of government employees, know that some of us actually are in it to improve the system while saving taxpayers money, unquote. And let me tell you, as someone who is a government employee for several years, both federally and at the state level, I can tell you that's 100% true, not just because I was one. In fact, I worked on the few that are partisan. When you work, I don't think people know this. When you work for a state senator, a state assembly person, or a member of Congress, it's called serving at the pleasure of the member. So you serve at the pleasure, which means there ain't no protections at all. I mean, your boss can come in and say, I don't like your tie. Get out of here. You're gone. And there's nothing you can do about it. I'm serious. You serve. Now, I don't think that happens that often. But the point is, they don't have to give you a warning. They don't have to write you up. They don't have to put together a performance plan to help you out. They can hire and fire people at will as members of the legislature or of Congress. Now, I mean, there's a certain number of positions and a budget that you get to hire salary. But as a partisan who works for a partisan, you serve at the pleasure. That is not the case with the vast majority of government employees. And I can tell you, and quite frankly, we saw this yesterday with the announcement from Republican State Senator Rob Coles of the Green Bay area, longest serving member of the legislature, of the state Senate anyway, announcing that he's not going to run for re-election. You know what the first thing Rob Coles did in his announcement? He thanked the nonpartisan folks, particularly the heads of nonpartisan agencies like Bob Lang, the head of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, who there is no more respected person, I don't believe, in state government than Bob Lang. Been there for a long time, worked with both Republicans and Democrats in the legislature, Republican and Democratic governors. And Bob Lang just gets it done. He doesn't care what your party affiliation is. He's going to give you truthful information about the state budget and about our numbers from a state perspective, whoever asks. And he's going to tell you the same answer. And that's why he is so respected, because Bob Lang doesn't pull any punches. He is a great example of a civil servant. So yesterday, Rob Coles thanked all these civil servants that make the government run. And quite frankly, that's what you want, right? Because what you don't want, let's say you're a farmer, an ag producer, and you say, well, you know, I need an access road because this field has gotten bigger. Maybe my equipment's gotten bigger, whatever the case is. And I need to put in a new access road here. And it might require a waiver or a permit for the Department of Natural Resources or transportation. Now, what you don't want is the government official that you're working with at DNR or DOT to ask you, well, who'd you vote for? Did you vote for Evers or Michaels?
Oh, you know, I think this application might just get lost.
Right, exactly. That's not what you want. And that's not what happens when you have a civil servant government, because they don't ask questions like that. They don't look up your voting history, or not your voting history, but they don't look up and see, oh, well, let's find out whether, you know, Joe Smith gave, you know, $100 or $1,000 to a candidate on either side.
I don't see a red or blue sign in your yard.
Right, right, exactly. That stuff does not happen with civil servants in state and federal government. And under this Project 2025 that Trump and Trumpism folks are pushing, and if Trump were to get another term, that's what we're going down the road of. That's what we're going to. Unless you pledge absolute loyalty, you're not going to get your stuff done. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy. 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Always glad to hear from you. Let's move on. And again, at the bottom of the hour, joined by Marco Massetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Want to go out to Washington, update you on some things that are happening there. Marjorie Taylor Greene continues her rants and raves about Speaker Mike Johnson, saying that she wants to oust him. Going to hear from her. Hear this clip from Marjorie Taylor Greene. And talk about, does this have anything to do with Mike Johnson? Apparently now, news breaking that Johnson's going down to kiss the ring at Mar-a-Lago later this week. Here's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And in doing so, I don't want to throw our conference into chaos. Mike Johnson has already done that. We are a conference in chaos right now because our Republican Speaker of the House is passing major bills without the majority of the majority's support. In doing so, respecting my conference and the other members in the conference, I need to communicate with them. And so I wrote that letter today, laying out all the reasons with specific examples that no one can argue with, so that they can understand my reasoning, have time to think it over, and we can come together and start talking about this. I also put it out publicly because I think it's important for the American people to read. I don't want them to just see us up here fighting constantly, because one of the things that people want is they want us to figure out how to get along in Washington, work together, and do the right thing. And, you know, I come from a business background, and the way you get a job done for your customers, I view the American people as our customers, is we have to work together. So this letter to my colleagues is the beginning of that. First, we admit the problems. First, we admit the wrongs, and then we come up with a plan for change. I'm working on the changes that I would like to see, and I'll be proposing with my colleagues, and I look forward to talking with them about that.
Is it changes in terms of specific people who would be the next Speaker of the House?
I haven't gotten to that step yet, but that may be something I move toward. Of course, that would be private conversations in our conference. I personally would love it if a Speaker of the House is chosen by a public vote, but it's not that way. Mm-hmm. The Speaker of the House is chosen by the majority and control in Congress, and that is a private vote that starts within the conference itself. So those are conversations we have to have privately first. But you know what? I'm very transparent with the people. I will be communicating my thoughts and plans going forward, of course, with my district. That's why I had a town hall last night before I came to Washington this week. But we have to make a change, and we have to actually follow through in action what our words say.
That's enough of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, I'll tell you what Marjorie Taylor Greene is. She's a media whore. I mean, that's what she is. And you're saying, well, Todd, you're buying into that. Yeah, sure, a little bit. I'll admit that. But I want you to hear this straight from her mouth. I don't want it Todd's interpretation. I want you to hear what she's saying. She is trying to create even more chaos. Cam from Nina listening in on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, text in, did Marjorie write those remarks in Crayola or Rose Art crayons?
Actually, Cam, I believe they were the off-brand crayons you get in like a 3 or 4 pack at a kid's menu at a restaurant.
I mean, if you want someone, I mean, Trigvi Olsen talks about this all the time. To quote former Governor Tommy Thompson, there are two kinds of politicians, those that want to do and those that want to be. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of those politicians that simply wants to be. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Off of CNN this afternoon, Speaker Mike Johnson warned this afternoon that an effort to oust him from his leadership position would not be helpful for the Republican Party and, quote, would be chaos in the House. We'll hear from Nikki Haley. Kind of sounds like her a little bit, too, when we come back. Stand by. I'm going to tell you what's happening down in Mar-a-Lago later this week. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Marco Mazzetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. It is a Wednesday on the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
Why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you f*** off? How about that?
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Wednesday. Mr. Zomeris taking your calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Discussing Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments, saying she doesn't really want to create chaos here, but she doesn't want Mike Johnson as Speaker. House Speaker Mike Johnson this afternoon saying the effort of Marjorie Taylor Greene to oust him from his leadership position would not be helpful and that it would, quote, create chaos in the House of Representatives. Nikki Haley talked about this when she left the presidential campaign trail, saying she was going to suspend her campaign. Here's what she said about the Republican Party today.
It is total chaos.
There you go. I mean, what more do you want?
Succinct to the point.
Succinct to the it's already chaos, according to Nikki Haley. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Chris listening in Sun Prairie. Chris, thanks for listening. What say you?
Hi. Well, I really called to talk about right to work. I could quickly say something about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Sure.
She's a national security threat, and she needs to be removed from Congress. But the right to work legislation, I think, is way more important. There were a lot of points that you made that I thought were really important and worth, you know, kind of reiterating. When Scott Walker was bringing legislation against the public service workers, they said that they were not going to go after the private sector workers, and then they did. This has been done all over the country, and they were after the unions, and they were after the private sector workers so that they could then go after our civil servants, so that then they could weaken our government. And this is what has happened, and it's happened in many states. And what you also said was you said that, you know, we don't know if people are just being fired on the spot like that for whatever reason. And that's one of the problems with right-to-work legislation. You don't know. You don't know why you're being fired. You have no right to know why you're fired. They can fire you for whatever reason they want. They can fire you because the boss wants to sleep with you and you don't want to sleep with the boss, you know?
Right.
So, you know, that's the problem with this kind of legislation. You might not get your place built if you're working with a government that has oil nepotism in it. I mean, you might go to get your contracts, you know, okayed up at the old government office. And, you know, if you're not on the right side, you're just not going to get any work. That's why we need civil servants. That's why we need government employees that have unions that protect them so that they can't have these politicians that come in and use their power to oversee government employees and make them do things that they shouldn't be doing. We need strong civil servants. Civil service has to be protected. And we do need strong unions as well to protect our workers, even in the private sector. This is why we're seeing so many products that are now being recalled. We do not have protections at work where people can go and say, hey, I'm not doing that job. Why do you think Boeing's having doors fall off?
Right.
Because those workers could not speak out. We are not safe because we don't have the union protections that we need.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Chris. Thank you so much. I agree with you in large part that, you know, it's civil servant protections that allow people to do their job and not worry about the political fallout. I mean, think about that. If you're somebody that's working at, you know, Department of Ag Trade and Consumer Protection, and someone calls in and says, look, I have a complaint about this product because it's really unsafe. And what if you have a partisan person saying, well, that's not going to look very good for my party. So they ignore the complaint. And more people call it. They ignore the complaint. And it can lead to people getting hurt, maimed, or even death. So Chris is absolutely right. These civil servant protections are not there simply to protect the employee, which is certainly a part of it, but they're also to protect the greater good of the community, of the citizenry, to make sure the government functions and not in a directly partisan way when it comes to the state agencies or the federal agencies. Now, certainly, I mean, we elect state senators, representatives, we elect congresspeople and senators to partisan positions, right? So, I mean, you can't expect a state representative who happens to be a progressive Democrat to elect a mega or to hire a mega person in their office, right? That's just antithetical to what that person believes, and vice versa. So I think it's fine to have partisan people in a state Senate office or assembly office or Congress because those offices are partisan elected offices. But what I'm talking about are the civil servants in our state agencies. Again, Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Department of Revenue, Department of Transportation, go right down the list. Or Social Security. Think about this. If Trump gets a second term and Project 2025 is enacted, and every sense is it will be, think about trying to get help with your Social Security check or your Social Security claim. And the person was put there by Trump and says, we really can't afford that. We're going to get rid of Social Security anyway. And you're ignored. And you have no recourse because the people controlling the federal agencies are partisan and they look at everything through a partisan lens. How does it impact the president? It's a terrible way to run government. It's a way to run government into the ground. And Chris is right. Our civil servant protections and also the unions in this country are helping working people. The trades, your plumbers, your electricians, your construction workers. Unions have helped working people throughout history. Think of people that were in the old GM plant down in Janesville, Uniroyal plant up in Eau Claire, all across this state. Unions have helped provide working people with livable wages, have provided for people. And sure, yes, throughout history, there's been some bumps. Not going to say there haven't. But if you take it on the whole, unions have been good for working people of Wisconsin. You know who it has not been good for? The one percenters. Not so great for the one percenters. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. A couple minutes left here in this segment. Then coming up after the break, we will talk to Marco Massetti, president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. He will be in talking about the 2024 inductees. 855-752-4842. A couple of minutes left. Ben in Sun Prairie, thanks for calling in. Ben, what say you?
Hi there. Kind of two key points I wanted to make. The first is the civil servant class is ruled by a political class of political appointees. So there's not that bias from the people performing the work, but there is the ability to change policy according to elected politicians. I think the other piece that's important is in Wisconsin, we have an elected official that does not report to the governor's office through the Department of Public Instruction, and the people of the state of Wisconsin have hailed that as a good distinction and division to allow that policy to go forward without partisan politics.
Great call. Appreciate it, Ben. Thank you so much, Ben in Sun Prairie. Stay tuned next. We will talk Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. On the other side, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned now for a news, weather, and sports update. Also, some ag markets as well. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. By request for our next guest, he is Marco Massetti. He is president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Marco, nicely done. What did we dial up there?
That was a Little Brown Dog by Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, one of my favorite Wisconsin bands. And as a UW Stevens Point graduate, they were a huge part of our social life and even beyond. So
nicely done. Yeah, I could listen to that kind of music all day.
Oh yeah, me too.
It's fantastic. Now we took this show on the road last week, and our friend Trigvy Olson from Lincoln Project, himself a River Falls dude, graduated from Eau Claire, but we won't hold that against him. Sure, no. Sure. We love Eau Claire. I'm a Platteville grad, so okay, we're all in the same conference at least here.
Absolutely.
But we took the show on the road, Richland Center, and then we went to La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Stevens Point, okay. And then we went to Green Bay. And one of the things that we heard in our tour, we called it What Makes Wisconsin Great. And people said, tell more stories about positive things going on. I mean, I think no matter what, if you wear a red hat or a blue hat,
totally.
I think people just kind of get sick of all the bickering and witching all the time. And it's like, there's a lot of great things happening. And to me, the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation is one of those. And also Stevens Point, just a beautiful campus.
Yeah, it sure is. It's very special place to me. Was there from 2012 to 2016, but then I stayed a number of years after that. Kind of one by one watched all my friends move away, but something just held me there for a while and ultimately made the move back down here to Madison, my hometown. But get up there every chance I can. And as the current home for the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame, it's certainly a fitting place for that.
We talked to Melanie, one of the directors of student services there, and she was talking about the folks that go to Stevens Point, the great programs they have there for conservation, and some folks may go on and get additional degrees, maybe in criminal justice and be conservation wardens. Some people may go into forestry. But, I mean, Stevens Point has a long, rich history of producing people after they leave there that go on and really help the conservation efforts across the state and across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Several of our inductees attended UW-Stevens Point. Mike Dombeck is a recent one from last year's induction ceremony. And one of my favorite things about the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame is we're the first of its kind in the country, and so probably in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's really fitting because Wisconsin is home of many firsts when it comes to conservation. We have the first wildlife management program offered at a university right here in Madison, at UW-Madison. And one of the first soil erosion demonstration sites and the first Hall of Fame. So really, we've led the way in conservation for a long time. The Curtis Prairie is the world's first ecological restoration site right down the road in the UW Arboretum. Mm-hmm. So I think the fact that we're the first Hall of Fame that honors these individuals that have made profound impacts to conservation is quite fitting.
Yeah, I think this is so cool because we talked a little bit about it earlier this week. Of course, a long time Platteville and then Milwaukee and UW-Madison head coach for men's basketball, Bo Ryan, inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Right. And that's well-deserved, in my opinion, as a Platteville guy.
Sure.
And it did a great job. We hear about this for athletics frequently. I'm not sure that people realize that there's a Conservation Hall of Fame. Can you tell us kind of how this came to be and how long it's been going?
Yeah, certainly. So in the early 80s, two gentlemen in central Wisconsin, Bill Horvath and Dan Trainer, got together and basically what we've just been talking about, you hit it on the head. There's so many wonderful, iconic individuals to recognize in the state of Wisconsin. Let's make some kind of effort that we can honor these folks. And in so doing, encourage the next generation of conservationists in our state. So it was in 1982 that the organization was founded. And we had our first induction ceremony in 1985. And Aldo Leopold and John Muir were our first two inductees, so not too surprising. Yeah. And it was shortly after that that we developed, I say we, I wasn't even born then, but the Conservation Hall of Fame developed one of my favorite aspects of the organization, which is our induction process. So the nominations come in from outside, from friends, family, colleagues of the individuals they're nominating. And they go through a technical review to make sure that the applications follow our pretty strict process, you know, like writing a grant, I suppose. And then they are filtered through a board of governors, which is an independent body. So we have a board of directors that operates the organization, but the board of governors is separate from that, and they have nothing to do with the day-to-day functioning of the Hall of Fame. But what they do is filter through the nominees and decide which ones should move on to the next tier. And then in the final tier, we have a group of 36 voting member organizations, which are other conservation groups around the state that have different stakes and different motives and things that are important to them. And they ultimately decide who gets in.
When you talk about these other groups, I mean, could you give us an example? Like, for instance, a lot of people are involved with Ducks Unlimited or that sort of thing around the state. Are they groups like that that then have a vote?
Exactly. Yep. And so one of my favorites, because I have a lot of favorite things about the Hall of Fame, but something that's really cool is these groups have different interests. So on any given conservation issue or topic, there's groups that are part of our voting member organizations that may take different or even very opposed positions on different issues, and yet they're all tied together by our common bond of conservation. So we have, bird watching groups, hunting, general outdoor recreation, and outdoor vehicle use. And so you can see just listing those few groups, like they may have different interests on any given issue, but the fact that they're all devoted to celebrating and advancing the conservation ethic, that's what ties us all together.
We're talking with Marco Buschetti. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation here in our studios. Always great to have you here, Marco. Thanks for taking the time. What you just said, I think, just hits the nail on the head from things that we heard from traveling throughout the state last week, to your point that these diverse groups of folks that are involved in this, Some may be very active in hunting. There might be the bird watchers, perhaps some of those people. Not so much.
Right.
Not so much. But I think this is a great example of what folks were telling us last week all around Wisconsin. Find the things, Todd, that bring people together.
Right.
And as you point out, these diverse folks throughout Wisconsin that have kind of specific interests right. also have this unifying interest of conservation. Because if we don't have a good environment conservation, none of these activities are going to take place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's another reason why the Conservation Hall of Fame to me is so important, because it provides some confirmation to the individuals that are inducted that, hey, I had this long career, you know, given they're still alive when they're inducted, and many of them are, mm-hmm. it gives them this confirmation of, wow, I worked hard at this, and depending on how you measure conservation, we're either headed in the right direction or not, depends on the day and who you talk mm-hmm. to and where you get the information. So I'd like to think that we offer one place that we can just say, look, these guys have and women have done this wonderful work, and this is a place for us to recognize them.
Yeah. Let's get into some of the inductees or the two inductees this year. Mm-hmm. The first one is Walt Bracetti. And when I read through the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame, kind of about us section here, one of the things you mentioned is storytelling. It is so important. And I know, having worked in the legislature before and having had the honor to staff a member on the Legislative and Tribal Relations Council, the importance of Native Americans in Wisconsin and the storytelling of passing these stories down. And so I think it's really appropriate that Walt Bracetti happens to be a Native American.
Yeah, absolutely. Walt was a member of the Red Cliff Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa, way up north in Wisconsin. Beautiful country. Mm-hmm. Definitely make sure to check that area out if you never have before. And yeah, it's always wonderful to, every year when we have the inductees, to walk through their stories. And, you know, unfortunately, Walt and our other inductee, Lou, are both passed, but you feel like you know them at the end of it. And just hearing the stories about them, you know, not even the stories directly that they've shared, but you feel like you know them at the end of it. And it's very special. And our induction ceremony is next week, Wednesday, April 17th, mm-hmm. beginning at 5 p.m. We'll have Walt's presentation, and then at 6:30, we'll have the next one that we'll get to, I'm sure, in a moment. But that's the best way for anyone listening that wants to learn more about these inductees. Make sure you tune into those, because we'll have people that knew Walt closely and worked with him, and hear some really wonderful stories about his work.
Can you share maybe just one story about Walt Bracetti and one of those things as a committee, as you reviewed this year's inductees, something that kind of stood out that he believed in or an issue that he cared deeply about?
Yeah, absolutely. The thing with Walt that strikes me is he was extremely passionate and a very potent activist. And from what I understand, you know, never really left much to be interpreted about where he stood on an issue or how he felt. Mm-hmm. But he was a strong proponent of nonviolence, and he wasn't the type that was going to, you know, support any kind of violent acts. And so he was involved in some pretty controversial stuff up in northern Wisconsin, issues that, if you're tuned into it, you know, continue well into today.
Yeah.
But he was able to navigate those in a peaceful way and make his point without, you know, resorting to violent techniques. So I think that's really admirable, and probably wasn't always easy for him, but that's something that really struck me about Walt's work.
And just looking at what you folks put out here, you know, it says the untold debt for his role in the defeat of the Crandon Mine and the landmark mining moratorium bill signed into law by Governor Tommy Thompson on Earth Day, coming up here in just mm-hmm. about a week and a half, back in 1998. It required any metallic sulfide mining company before moving or mining in Wisconsin to prove that they had not polluted surface water or groundwater in any of their previous mines in the United States or Canada. I mean, that is landmark legislation. Worked with both, you know, Democrats like Bob Correct. Jauch up in the Superior area, and was signed into law by a Republican governor like Tommy Thompson, mm-hmm. which is still having an effect today. And, you know, Walt Bracetti was one of those people that really got it done.
Absolutely. And we say in there, anyone who fishes those streams in that part of the state owes an untold debt to Walt and his work. And Earth Day is another first of conservation in Wisconsin, so the list grows. Yeah,
right. I mean, Tia Nelson and you know, her dad, yeah. Governor Gaylord Nelson. We have exactly. a state park named after. I mean, the tireless work of Gaylord Nelson, and continues on with Tia. I mean, These are natural resources that all of us, regardless of party affiliation, enjoy every day. And I think sometimes, as I said earlier in the show, we drive by them and we just take it for granted.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so we hope by bringing these stories to the people of Wisconsin that, you know, you may have hiked in a place. I know it's happened to me dozens of times. You hike down a trail or you go to a park and, you know, you enjoy it and it fills you with something special. But once you learn how that really came to be and all the work that goes in and sometimes the battles and the dedication that goes into protecting a piece of land, you have a entirely new level of appreciation for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Second inductee. Lewis Posicani. All right, yep. Sorry, I messed up the name a little bit, but Lewis Posicani. Tell us a little bit about Lewis. We had about a couple minutes left in this segment. We'll come back and finish it up on the other side.
Yeah, sure. So Lou had a special ability to bind his different areas of expertise, including law and science. He was also very ardently supportive of water resources and similar to Walt's work, but in different parts of the state. Very influential in protecting certain bodies of water, rivers. He was an avid fisherman, and that was his primary natural resource of interest. But the way that he worked together his different areas of expertise, I think that's just not that common. And he was one of the first people to really understand how policy and the science of conservation can be weaved together. Mm-hmm. So that struck me quite a lot about Lou's work.
Yeah, no, I looked at what you folks put out here. Lewis Posicani says, Lou respected his knowledge of the law, legal procedure, the public trust doctrine, mm-hmm. aquatic biology, engineering, and hydrology.
Yeah,
you know, we talked about before kind of your day job is working in finance, and I'm envious of people who do math well because I don't.
Right.
I mean, same thing with the law, right? I mean, we have to have people that know how the law works to make things happen.
Yeah, yeah. I read through that list and it's like my head is spinning with all the things that Lou was able to master and, you know, clearly like deserves to be up there with the rest of the nominee or the inductees.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We are talking with Marco Machete. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Take Mark from the SAC calling in, wants to talk a little bit about that as well, about DNR. So we'll take his call and carry on and to find out what else is happening and what the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation is up to, taking us to break. Little Stevens Point music from a Stevens Point grad. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. It's 10 minutes away from national news, weather, and sports. And then our friend Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show taking over these airwaves. Maggie Dawn every afternoon, 2 until 4. Do not miss it. Don't want to miss the rest of our interview right now with our special guest in studio today. He is Marco Machete. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation, talking about the 2024 inductees. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Mark from the SAC. Mark calling in. You used to work for the DNR. Is that true?
Yeah, that was my career is at the DNR. I retired in 2017. And I actually worked as an accountant. So there's room there for not just people ecology fields and the chemistry fields and environmental protection. There's also people they need people there that can maintain run the computers and do accounting and the other the support staff, support functions that every agency needs. I knew a lot of the wardens, I knew a lot of the foresters and the biologists and being a hunter and fisherman myself, interested in nature, it was a good fit for me. I encourage people out there to, and in spite of the black eye that Republicans lately have tried to give, to public servants, I mean that public service in any of our agencies, especially the DNR, is a worthwhile career to seek out.
Hmm. Appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Mark from the SAC there. Marco, To Mark's point, it does take a lot of different people, all different talents. I mean, the emphasis, maybe the sexy part is, are the wardens, right? Who the conservation wardens right. who are out there, right. you know, and I think it's important, you know, these are not just people going around checking, hey, do you have your license to fish? I mean, they're law enforcement officials, but they're also watching out for our environment and doing conservation things.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that call, Mark. That you speak to my heart there. And it's another important part of what the Hall of Fame does is not every person in the Hall of Fame was a career conservationist. We have people that were involved in business. Gordon Buchholz a couple of years ago was one of our inductees, very active in the paper industry in the Fox Valley. Mm-hmm. And so we have people that you don't necessarily have to have been a professional conservationist. And like you pointed out, Todd, even though I went to school for that, it's not what I've ended up doing as my career. So this is a volunteer position that I have. And I'm incredibly inspired by some of these inductees that went that route. Gary Eldred is another one recently who was very involved in the prairie restoration movement. And, you know, go read up about him for sure. Mm-hmm. But his career with the DNR was similar, Mark. If I remember correctly, he was kind of in the maintenance field. And so he wasn't a biologist, but he still well-deservedly has a place in our Hall of Fame for the important work that he did on his own, kind of outside of his career.
Tell us a little bit more, Marco, about the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Is this a nonprofit? I mean, certainly these things, you're a volunteer, as I believe mm-hmm. all the board members are.
Correct.
But it still costs money do you accept donations? How do you function?
Correct. Yes, we certainly do accept donations. That's our primary source of revenue. We also have our voting member organizations who do pay dues to be a part of our group. And we have one part-time staff member, Ruth Ann Lee, who's our administrator, and she is amazing, and we would never be doing what we're doing without, you know, the help of Ruth Ann and her dedication. But yeah, we certainly are always in need of support. You can find us at wchf.org, and we have a nice, very conspicuous donate button on there if you're so inclined. We would certainly appreciate that support. And again, our induction ceremony is taking place next Wednesday, a week from today, mm-hmm. April 17th. We'll have our first inductee at 5 p.m. and the next at 6:30. And those will also be recorded and available to view indefinitely afterwards. So if you can't make it right then, we hope you can tune in later and take in these wonderful icons of Wisconsin conservation.
Marco, you are, we're not going to ask your age, but I will say compared to me, you're a younger person.
Yeah, thank you.
and I went to the website. It's a really great website. My guess is having a younger person as president, you've kind of helped move the organization into the webs, as they say, or whatever. I mean, what other socials are out there that people can find your organization?
Yeah, sure. We are out there on, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn, and we did a SWOT or SWOT strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats analysis from all of our constituents and supporters late last year. And the biggest thing that we got back as a strength, which was really encouraging, is the work we do to celebrate conservation heritage. People are very fond of. They think we're doing a great job. And mm-hmm. that made us all really happy. The thing we haven't done the best job of is visibility. And so I think there's a lot of people who don't necessarily know that we're here. And so I'm very grateful to be here today because I think this is a huge step forward for us in terms of, you know, hopefully reaching some new people. And we've transitioned our induction ceremony from an in-person event to a virtual event, mm-hmm. which has a cost to be paid in terms of missing out on the in-person element. But we also reach way more people. We've had people turn in from overseas and wow. all over the country. So wow. we are embracing the future and technology and all that comes with to help us achieve our goals and be around to celebrate the next 100 inductees.
Well, we appreciate your time, Marco Machete. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Where can people find you one more time? If they want to donate?
Yeah, sure. WCHF.org. That's Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame.org.
Easy enough. An induction yeah. ceremony next week. So,
yes, sir.
Best of luck on all of that. And congratulations again, the inductees, Louis Posicani
and Walt Brissett.
Very good. Thank you for helping me out with the names. I appreciate that. But very worthy inductees. And again, great storytelling here, great bios that you wrote up on each of them. I hope people will tune in to the virtual online induction ceremony next week, hear these stories, and realize that when we go duck hunting or bird watching or riding our ATVs or kayaking Wisconsin's waterways, mm-hmm. all of that doesn't just happen.
There
are organizations and, more importantly, individuals who donate and dedicate large portions of their life to make that accessible and continue for all of us.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Thanks, well, Ted.
Thanks for being here. We appreciate your time. And come on back again. We'll talk conservation because we're running out. Well, we've got about a minute left. What does Marco enjoy? What's your favorite outdoor activity?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've really gotten into prairie restoration lately. So nice. I used to work at the Humane Society of Portage County up in central Wisconsin. And the folks there were nice enough to allow me to do a little restoration. So that's what I like to do in my spare time.
I know a former state senator up in Stock County would probably take your help doing some prairie restoration up there. Yeah. Thank you, Marco Marcetti. He is the president of the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame Foundation. Also, thank you to Pat Kreitlow earlier in hour one. Mr. Zommer is on the board, and each and every one of you for calling and listening and texting in. We could not do it without you. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next. I'm Todd Albaugh. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow. Banging on your drum and